Genesis chapter number 16 says, "Now Sarah's, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roah. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you today for your wondrous grace. Lord, we thank you today, though we be weak, yet we have the strength of God to do what needs to be done. We thank you for that strength, and, oh God, how we need it tonight. We pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray, oh God, that we'd have a listening ear. Lord, before me and in my own heart are many, many needs tonight. We are needy people. And Lord, all of us deal with issues and problems and situations. And Lord, we need you. And I pray, oh God, that you might bless tonight and help us to gain from your Holy Spirit, from your word. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The sin of Abram and Sarah was they were not willing to wait on God. Very often in your life and mine, we find that there are times that we're just simply supposed to wait, and we get in a rush. We live in a day when we want things instantaneous. We want something to eat, we pop it in the microwave, push a couple buttons, and if it isn't hot within a minute or two, we're getting upset. We drive into a fast restaurant, and I mean, if we don't have our food in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes, we're thinking, what kind of fast food is this? And we're in a hurry all the time. And yet we find that God often wants you and I to wait. The Bible tells us we're to wait upon the Lord. And it is an amazing thing that God wants you and I to wait. Now, God, I don't believe, is in a hurry. God has His perfect timing. God knows what He's doing all the time. And you and I need to be willing to wait for God to do whatever it is that He's going to do. We find here in chapter number 16, because of their unwillingness to wait, what we might describe as the first domestic strife in the Word of God. It was not between Abraham and Sarah, though it became that, but it was between these two women. And because they tried to hurry God's promise with some carnal reasoning, we find that there's an entanglement that takes place that is yet here with us today. And we find to this very day that the Arab, who are descendants of Ishmael, and the Israelites, they have been each other's throats all these millennium, all because of this particular story we read here. I want us tonight to stop and consider a couple of things. Not make it complicated, not make it long, but just to make it, I hope, simple and understandable. First of all, in the first six verses, I'd like for us to notice the test of God's silence. Now think about that a minute. The test of God's silence. Have you ever in your life wondered why God isn't doing something? Have you ever prayed and it didn't seem like an answer was coming? Heaven seemed to even be closed. And you're wondering, is God real? The test of God's silence. Well, we look here and we find that God had promised to Abraham and to Sarah a son. And yet we find they've been in the land for 10 years. We find that Abraham at this point is now 86 years old. And I mean, really, the time of childbearing and such, we would think is past. And yet we find that they're thinking within their own minds, hey, there is something we can do. If there's one born in Abraham's house, and they are our servants, they are considered to be a part of the family. And so Sarah, she comes up with this plan, and she says, I want you to take my handmaid, and I want you to go in unto her, and if she has a child, well, then that must be God's answer to what he wants to take place. You see, the problem had been there had been no fruit. There had been nothing taking place that they were expecting it to be there. And so they seek to have a solution that is proposed really by an activity of the flesh. Now, we need to stop and think about that for a moment, because so often in our lives, so often you and I, we find ourselves trying to do things in the flesh to produce something for God. We too often are trying to do this or do that or do the other thing in order to accomplish something. People, churches, go through barren times. And often, rather than waiting upon God, we get anxious, we get in a hurry, and we find some worldly means to try to accomplish what needs to be done. Let me just give you a real easy scenario of that. One of the things I believe that every church wants is growth. One of the things we want to do is reach people. And in our zeal and our desire to reach people, we can come up with some means whereby to get folks in church. We can do some certain things to appeal to people. And if we're appealing to them in the flesh, we're probably going to have fleshly born peoples. And we need to appeal the way God wants to do so. And so today we find that oftentimes music is compromised in order to get certain people to come. Different things are compromised to get folks to come, because, after all, we don't want folks to be uncomfortable in church. I've heard people, honestly, one time I went to a house and they said, boy, I was so comfortable in that church. And I thought, my goodness, we must not have been doing something right. Because when you preach the Word of God and tell folks they're sinners and they need Christ, that's not always a place of comfortability. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, we find that that often happens in our lives. And so we come up with these kinds of things. But what we need to understand is that when we do so, there's always a price to pay. Notice in verse number 4, it says, he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You see, the price that we pay for doing it in the flesh is always a whole lot more than we're prepared to pay. And now we find Sarah in quite a dilemma. And we find Sarah now comes to Abram. And she comes with really some bitterness in her soul. And really she comes and she says some very harsh things. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 2 for just a moment here. And the last sentence in verse number 2, and what does it say? Abraham what? Hearken to the voice of Sarai. He should have listened to God, but he listened to her. Now we find she comes, and she is what? She is coming to him and basically saying to him, Hey, listen, it's your fault. It's your fault. No offense, ladies, but oftentimes we guys, we wonder, what can we do? What can we say that you won't get upset? Because sometimes we say this, we know you're going to get upset, so you saw it the other way, and you get upset anyways. And this is exactly what took place, I think, here in this situation. And we find that it's in a bad spot. The Lord judge between me and thee, she says. And so she has some very harsh words, I believe, to her own husband. And to me, it seems like she's blaming him because he went along with her. Well, Abram says, all right, she's in your hand. You do whatever you want. And we find in verse number 6 that she dealt very hardly with her. And as a result of that, Hagar takes off. Now, all of this is very picturesque of Christians who operate in the power of the flesh. It's a picture of you, it's a picture of me, as we so often try to handle things, not the way God wants to, but the way we want to. We're built with this kind of thing inside of us, and so we try to do it our way. And so here we find Hagar doing what is so natural in many cases, and that is to run. Little children, what do? They get in trouble at home and things aren't going too well. And what do? They pack their bags and say, I'm going to run away. How many ever ran away? Or thought about it? And back when I was a little kid, I remember that the hobos, they'd put everything in a handkerchief, put it on a stick. And so one day I was so mad, I found a big old red hanky. I put a pair of underwear in there. I had enough sense to take underwear with me. I put some underwear in there and some socks. And I bandaged that thing up and put it on a stick, and I was going to leave. I came to my senses before my mother ever saw me, because my mom would have probably fixed me a lunch and said, here, have fun. And been happy to see me go. But we were so anxious to flee a situation. And the problem is, all of them were acting what? Not spiritually, but naturally. Rather than wait on God, allow God to work it out in their lives, they jump in and they take things into their own hands. And what takes place? Mayhem that lasts for centuries. And too many times, you and I, we get in trouble, we have our problem or whatever it is, and we head off for Egypt rather than seeking God, seeking to settle our differences or whatever the problems might be with forgiveness and go forward. We're just so prone to do that. Oh, did we mention Hagar? She was an Egyptian. How is it that Hagar is in the family? Could it be that when Abram, some years before, went out of the will of God, on another occasion went down to the land of Egypt, and while he's there, picks up this gal to become a servant and come back with him? And so here, perhaps a product of a former backsliding time contributes to the problem even more so. Oh, how you and I need to stop and just wait on God. Let Him do what He said He's going to do. Now notice, as we come to verse number 7, it says, and the angel of the Lord found her. Oh, aren't we glad that God seeks us out? But the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of the shore. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress. When God is misrepresented by these folks as they were, as he was to Hagar, he's going to reveal himself that they might see it. Did you know this is the first time that mention is made of God's angel? And it's to a fugitive rather than to God's heir. Think about the grace of God here as he comes to visit her. And he gives to her command. And that command in verse number 9 is, return to thy mistress and do what? Submit. She had despised her. And now God says, you need to go submit. And fall under her leadership and submit yourself unto her. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Not only did he give her a command, but we find that he gave her a promise to go with that command. And that promise is a son that would come into her life. And he was going to have a name, and that name was Ishmael. And that name was a constant reminder to her, because his name meant God shall hear. God shall hear. And every time she called his name, it was a reminder to her that God did hear her as she was in that wilderness. I received an email. I mentioned one earlier, but from another one of our missionaries, and he says, I met a fellow the other day, and I don't know what his name is. And he talks for a little bit, and finally he gives the African name for him, and his name means, I don't know. I don't know. And so here's a guy named I don't know. Here's a fellow that's named God shall hear. Always significant in the Word of God, the names. And so a constant reminder of her faithless actions that she had, and yet how God in His grace came to her in her time of need. And God heard her in that time. Notice verse number 12. And it says, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake to her, Thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Now here's the wonderful thing about our God. Though we refuse to wait upon him in his time, though we take things in our own hands so often and go out of his will, God is gracious. And God in his grace reached down and touched this woman, told her what to do, what to expect, and God worked in her life. We find that she responded. In verse number 15 says, Hagar bare Abram a son. He called his name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. She responded. She went back. She told Abram about her experience and the name that was supposed to be. And I'm saying to you tonight, that was an expression of her faith. She believed what God had told her and tells it to Abram. And he then follows suit with it, and his name becomes Ishmael. We find that she had returned, which is also a vital expression to her faith. Now, all I can say is, you and I so often want to get ahead of God, do we not? You and I so often want to, we don't seem to have God's leadership at the moment, and so we plan and we do this and we do that, and we find ourselves getting in trouble. How we need to wait upon God and let Him lead us in all of these areas. Because when we get out of that, we're going to find ourselves in some very difficult situation. And what did she find herself in? Or what was Sarah's difficulty? She was now despised. And the one that she put into his presence, we find that now she has her problems as well. And all of this transpired because God had told him there was a child coming. And they tried to do it another way. How we need to wait upon God. Amen? Let Him take care of it in His time, not get ahead of Him. A lesson valuable in all our lives. We'd listen to God in it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You so much that You care for us and You love us and You watch over us and You have things available for us. And yet too often we don't listen. Too often we get ahead of You. Too often we decide to do it our own direction. And too often we find ourselves in dire straits as a result. Lord, as I look back through the many years, how often I can relate to Sarai, to Hagar, to Abraham. Lord, the situation that we find here in these verses. But, oh God, how we thank You for Your grace. And You're picking us up in spite of ourselves. God, help us to learn to wait upon the Lord. And not to be rash in our decisions, not to be in a hurry to do that which we need to let you take care of. Lord, I just pray for your great, wonderful blessings in this area of our lives. We might be willing to wait upon you. Lord, especially when we're not seeing the results that we think ought to be there. Not only in church, but in our personal lives, whatever it might be. Dear God, work in our hearts in this area. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you to stand tonight. Minnie's at the piano. I'm going to ask her to play. I fear too often in our lives we don't have the willingness to wait upon the Lord. And we get ahead of Him in our decisions and our thoughts. And we don't let God take care of whatever needs to be done in our life. Let Him take care of it. Amen. Maybe you need to come and just ask Him to forgive you that. Whatever it might be. Maybe something else God's dealt with you. Maybe something from this morning, but you did not respond as you should. Let God have His way.